Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. I'm Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I have an illustrious panel joining me tonight. First of all, we have, I lied. But anyway, we have Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver. Say hello.
Hello, folks. Rob, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Living the dream. And we also have, to make sure that we behave, the Triple B.
Good evening.
Now, ladies out there, one thing I am sorry about. We do not have the superstar with us tonight. He is still on IR.
Yeah.
Nursing many, many injuries.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted.
Jaw disorder from chomping.
Chomping, yes.
Recovery from that.
He's also on anti-chomping. He's also on suspension, too. suspension and he's injured. So when he gets a full medical clearance and he learns to chew with his mouth shut, he will be back on the program. But for now, it's just us. But tonight, we have a very special wine. Tonight,
hopefully we are... Hopefully special wine.
Quasi. Well, you know. We are drinking 2015. It's from 2015. But it's Wente's Morning Fog Chardonnay from Livermore Valley in California. Now, you might say, Rob, what the hell is Livermore Valley?
Rob. What the hell? Livermore Valley.
Livermore Valley is a little area, a little AVA that's just east of San Francisco Bay and north of San Jose. So think about your little things right there. It's right there. Wente's been there. That's where they're at. That's where they're located. That's where they grow the stuff. That's where they do everything. They're a very, very cool winery in that regard. So what you're really having is a specific AVA Chardonnay. At $14.99 is what this cost.
It's folks.
Very cool in that regard.
So what's Wente's shops? What's their reputation?
Wente is pre-prohibition. They've been around forever.
Wow.
Yeah, it's in 1883.
Yeah. Now they have they make all across their line over 700,000 cases per year.
Whoa.
But that's Cab Merlots and Chardonnay, yeah. Everything. Livermore Valley, though, is kind of cool in the fact that it can grow all those things because it has the cool air from San Francisco Bay. It has gravel soils. It's very cool. As you can tell, I brushed up on Livermore Valley before we started tonight. this particular Chardonnay is 50-50 in the fact that it's half oak, half steel, 5 months on oak.
Hmm.
How about that?
Yeah, what does morning fog mean?
Morning fog.
Is that when they pick it?
It's, well, named for the morning fog that rolls into the vineyard from the San Francisco Bay, our Chardonnay has crisp flavors of green apple, tropical fruit, vanilla, and a touch of toasty oak. That's what
it
is.
Sounds delicious, doesn't
it? It sure does.
So, well, folks,
not that, but what a lead into their label.
I know.
Was that rigged too? I don't know.
I feel like my hopes for this are so high. I don't know if it's my expectation. This is just going to be amazing. I'm a little nervous.
No, it's not going to. But anyway, folks.
You sound
you're
helpful.
Selling me on it.
I'm not trying to do it. But anyway, when we come back, we are going to start our review and our dissection, as it were, of Wente. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed Taxi Driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. I've been told how good I am during the break, and I didn't need that.
There was a lot of laughter, though.
I knew that.
Anyway. Just wanted to know how much he got paid for that 2-minute Wente commercial.
No, the check's in the mail. I didn't say it was good. I just talked about it. I mean, you know, that was like the 10-cent tour of Wente.
Their bottle description, though, makes it sound amazing. A lot of times bottles will just have maybe one or two sentences. Mm-hmm. But if I picked that up at the store, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I bet this wine's amazing.
It was short, sweet, to the point. Dispensed with a lot of muckety about it.
The Morning Fog is also like a little bit snobby. You know?
Wine is a little bit snobby.
Yeah, but that's like
unless it's fisheye.
But that like appeals to that little bit of snobbiness that you see in wine lovers.
And folks, added to the wine vault this week, since we are drinking Chardonnay, we have Riedel Venom Chardonnay glasses, folks.
Ting, 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 ting,
and
ting.
And we also have a Riedel, and we're drinking out of the Venoms, but the Triple B is drinking out of an O-Series stemless Riedel. And that will become apparent, tonight the potpourri segment is,
emails, everything away.
But, you know, there's some questions out there. So she's doing the noble thing. Mm-hmm. And she brought these into the marriage, by the way. I'm surprised we don't use these more often, but, you know, nevertheless. She is drinking out of a stemless O-Series Riedel Chardonnay glass. So
very brave, very brave.
Yes, we'll come to that later. So the wine, we're looking at it. First of all, there's no real cloudiness. Nice, clear, crystalline look.
There's a piece of fuzz in mine.
Well, that's nice. That's actually probably out of the glass. They haven't been cleaned recently. Mine has a little cork, which adds the flavor. I just saw that. Oh, well.
You can see everything in a white wine.
Yeah. I thought I did a better job than that, but apparently I did a shit job.
What do you have in yours?
I was going to say, it's grab like perfectly translucent. I wouldn't say cloudy, but it's not quite
that
perfectly translucent.
Because of the condensation from the coldness, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I thought so immediately when you poured it, though, honestly. That was my first...
Yeah, do a wipe on it, and I think...
Yeah, I think you'll find that it tricked you, Scott. This is...
It's so tricky.
Yes. Scott is impressing us with his wine wine's drinking skills here.
Okay, all right.
Do you think that your windshield during the winter is also foggy?
I thought it was just my glasses.
What is a frosted winter? What's this shit?
To be fair...
He's not very smart.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. I was going to say, to be fair, we take this podcast on a Monday.
So?
And so, for the majority of the people that work on... that go to work on a daily basis, Mondays are a tough day.
Good point.
So the fact that we're here and we're upright, I feel like we're winners.
Winners. Winning.
Were you at work this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I didn't think so. No. Anyway, no, Scott.
Well, I'm on convalescent duty with the father-in-law.
True.
Which is harder than work.
It's to some degree, yes.
It is.
When I've had to take care of Rob, it's the worst. I'm terrible at it, but he's also the worst patient.
Mother's Day weekend's coming up.
Oh,
God. When you had to take care of him after you ran the half marathon and he was exhausted.
That was very tired.
Wiped him out.
In fairness, I walked like a mile or two.
What's
fair about that? She ran 9 miles.
Hey, I don't want to listen to your bitching.
For some potpourri session, we could do all the times Rob's been deathly ill.
Nice, I like it.
I'll just contract something for the next holiday. Why don't we get to the wine?
Oh, okay.
Asshole. Anyway, the nose, I think, is the next. First of all,
what about its legs?
It's Chardonnay. We don't really worry about that.
Oh, they don't have legs?
Well, it does, but that's not something that really people are talking about. Hey, got a piece of cork out of there.
It is translucent.
Lucky for me.
There's no cloudiness whatsoever. It was a combination of condensation and being cloudy glasses. The glass wipe, I think, really helped on the face, not on the container for holding the wine.
There's thumbprints on my
vessel.
Wine. In my what? No.
Does it look oily?
No. Chardonnay shouldn't.
Look inside your glass.
You're looking a little too close there, Becky.
Okay, maybe it is my glass. Who knows?
Well, in fairness, I do clean those with vegetable oil.
What?
No, I don't.
Ew. This could be vegetable oil in this glass.
That's true. On the nose, though, the green apple is definitely.
Yes, it's prominent.
A But he asked for me to turn the music down. So.
Yeah, it makes me want to kill myself. I can't stand listening to classical music.
That makes you more intelligent. I know that...
My blood pressure is skyrocketed right now.
Good.
Ugh. Because of the classical music?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I can't stand it.
Change the channel. No. Don't be a dick.
No.
I can smell the oak now that I've, like, had my nose inside the glass.
I would, but I don't know where the remote is. Nah.
William probably ran off with it. I can smell the green apple.
There's a little bit of vanilla, which emanates from the oak in the background. It's very subtle, though. Very nice. It's wet when you accidentally stick your nose in it. That's for sure.
It's not as strong of a nose as I expected it to have.
Well, I mean, what do you know?
And it's green apple. It's... Not much citrusy note to the nose.
Mm-hmm. Are we drinking
it? Oh, yeah, let's go in.
That's what wine's for.
Let's do it.
First of all, I would like to say, drinking out of the Venom series, Riedel's lovely. Sure, it really is. How is the stemless?
Very nice.
It actually is a nice looking glass when you.
Yeah, take I like it.
Yeah.
I also am. I feel a lot more confident. I'm not going to knock it over.
Mm. If the superstar gets back from suspension, we'll get him a sippy cup version. We'll put a handle on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won't mind. Straw in it.
You know, that'd be too cool. He'll blow bubbles in it during the episodes.
Taking the role of the absolute Chardonnay novice here.
No, that was my... I wanted to do that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, go ahead.
Incorrect.
We've had about the same amount of Chardonnays.
My guy's not normally a Chardonnay fan.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't ever drink them because there's other things to drink. Mm. Like everything.
It's just...
But that's an ignorant... Stand.
Yeah.
I mean, I just simply haven't drank many Chardonnays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, it's a very popular white wine. Like, you know what I mean? So it is.
But it is losing steam in the fact that a lot of the kitschy crap is out there. And they're not, people are getting away from the proper whites. This is very nice.
The
tropical fruits are definitely prominent on the palate.
Taking going back to my point of being the novice, this is an interesting little mouthfeel. It's different than other shards I've had.
Slightly oily.
Yeah, and so maybe there was a little precursor.
You didn't notice it by looking at it.
I love the look. There.
You looked at it like there was a dead animal in there.
Listeners.
It just had like a little bit of an oil sheen. You know when you see like a puddle that has like a little bit of like gasoline?
There's a sheen.
Yeah,
you saw a sheen.
It has a sheen.
And it was a precursor to what we're tasting now. So
weird,
I think
right?
We have to go backwards and add some credibility there. And what...
It's so awesome.
Unfortunate.
Big two against the wine guy.
Well, I'm just being a casual observer here that there was this incredible look of, ha, I told you so, on the Triple B's face that...
Also, I know that the listeners can't hear, but the unlicensed taxi driver... I mean, they can't see.
Thank
Scott
God.
And I are on one side of the table versus Rob, so we just...
Yeah.
Bam.
Bam. What's that?
There's oil.
Oil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the...
It's a glycerin.
Glycerin mouthfeel.
Yes.
But not the same as, like, waxy that we've had in some whites.
And in no way unappealing.
From residue
in no way unappealing.
It's a medium-bodied Chardonnay.
It's beauty.
Yes.
I do like it more than other Chardonnays I've had.
I love the mouthfeel of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's oak, but it's just subtle in the background.
Yeah.
It has nice sweet fruits.
Mm-hmm.
The tropical fruits, like they said. There's a tartness from the green apple.
Yep.
Everything, though, comes from a fruit flavor. So you've got the sweetness from the tropical fruits. Then the green apple flavor comes through with a little bit of acidity to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's that little vanilla oaky streak running all the way through it. Has nice length. It's nicely proportional, balanced.
What it's not is that big oaky Chardonnay.
No,
it is not that.
Right.
No.
Agree.
This is an oaked Chardonnay. However, it is not overly oaked. It's not toasty in any regard.
I would say oak is at least the secondary, if not third flavor that I taste.
It should be, though. in reality, because Chardonnays are whites. They don't have the body to,
right, to hold
mask
it.
That. Yeah.
Yep. It also, it just like, it's such a nice wine to drink on its own.
It is.
Really
it's
is. Yeah.
But we have a nice little cheese spread here.
Mm-hmm.
Some dried.
Sure, homie.
Yes. It goes beautifully with any light cheeses.
What do you eat Chardonnay? You eat Chardonnay. What do you eat Chardonnay? I can't even say that sentence.
Chicken?
What would we pair?
What do you pair? I gotta get away from
this. Oily fish, perhaps. Like a sea bass, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too, I mean, like mussels, things like those aren't really, that doesn't have the acidity for that, but, you know, a sea bass, a chicken dish that isn't overly seasoned, things like that.
Yeah.
A nice salad. This would be a nice substitute for, this is really nice. This would go with it. You know, a lunchtime, you have a nice...
I was going to say the same thing.
A nice chicken Caesar salad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Picnic in the park.
A rabbit, a little confit, something like that. Beautiful.
Yep.
It's, beautiful with that. It's not obtrusive. It just is there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of, I don't want to say residual sugar,
but just a little sweetness
there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's not the driest thing, but it isn't a flaw. It just has a beautiful little fruity floral layer. Not floral, but a fruity layer. It's not floral, though.
But the person that likes that astringent Chardonnay, that's not what this is.
No. In fairness, there's about, let's see, 4 different layers there, maybe. Tropical fruits, green apple, the vanilla, and then maybe a little bit of a toasty oak kind of pineapple thing that's beyond that. Maybe 3-4 layers.
Yeah.
There's no real mineral quality, which I kind of would have expected with the gravel soils, but it's not really showing that.
No.
It's really
to that comment, I would say thank goodness. Can you imagine? I don't feel like that would go well in this. They did a good job.
If
it had a gravelly flavor, I think it would be off.
Well, that's not a gravelly flavor.
But a minerally.
A minerally flavor.
But that would be off-putting, I feel like, with the...
First of all, it's going to have a slightly different profile. If you tried it, I think that you'd find that it'd be quite lovely. I bet they're more expensive ones might show more of those characteristics.
Well, and it's... That's not something you would like either.
No, it's not.
No, but...
It's not, I mean, it's not... Minerally is not your thing.
Not my jam. No.
This
is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. A nice wine.
We're going back for seconds.
Yeah, everyone's finished their glass. Does not always happen.
No, it's always... We have a fridge here right next to me on the wine vault. And this was in it for like 30 seconds that it came back.
Yeah. We're like, oh, who's going to drink the rest of this? But tonight...
It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful drink. I mean, if I was not in a restaurant and I was eating light, if I saw this...
Mm-hmm. Definitely order it.
Should go.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one thing that when you read the reviews, you read the workups, and I've heard of one, Dad, they've been around forever, it is consistent. Mm. It's one of those wineries that every single year you know what to expect. And it's got 88s, 90s, 89s in its past. This one hasn't been reviewed yet. But I think that, you know, it's definitely along the lines of those type of scores.
Yeah, I think I found this blog list of 20 wines I've drank this year or something like that. I
think something helpful that Rob has done when we've gone out to eat and I've asked questions about wine list and trying to just understand it on my own, he said, if you see this on a wine list somewhere when you're out without me, you can order it and feel confident in what you're ordering.
This would be one of those. This would be
that's an easy name to remember when... Mm-hmm. You told me Klein before. Mm-hmm. You're going to always know what you're getting. They're not like the most outrageously priced, anything like that. But if you see it, you can order it and you're going to be all right.
Exactly. So, folks, that's our breakdown. We're going to come back because we have a wonderful potpourri segment where we have, it's your favorite time of the month when we have this. It's we have some emails in. And we're going to answer your emails when we get back on The Wine Vault. Folks, we here on The Wine Vault are an open opportunity podcast. We would love for you to be a guest in The Wine Vault. Scott, tell them how to do it.
contact us at thewinevault@outlook.com. Send us a message on the Facebook at thewinevault.rs. Twitter, contact us at @winevaultpodcast. I'm at the O. We're on the Twitter, folks. We're on the Facebook. Contact us at our website.
Folks, you get a hold of us, we'll get a hold of you. We'll bring you on. You, hey, who knows? You might even meet the superstar Steve Gibson. Who can say?
God, don't make promises you can't keep.
Well, give Steve a fiver. He'll show up. Anyway, folks, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And folks, we are back tonight. We have some email questions.
Yep.
I know. We're going to start off. Triple B has a couple there, and I have a couple here. And Triple B, why don't you start us off here?
The first one I gave the rest of the show a heads up on. Sarah wrote in.
Sarah.
And she wanted to know if she should. She has mainly stemless glassware. And she wanted to know if she should start buying stemmed glassware and if there was much of a difference.
First question, is that Sarah with an H or without an H?
Without an H. Good question.
I don't know why I wanted to know that. Mm-hmm. First of all, Sarah, now the Triple B currently is drinking out of stemless. What I will say about this, there are time and place, okay? Stemless are convenient.
Yeah.
They are less likely to knock over. So if you're around Yabos, you know, that makes sense. Now, if you have a proper tasting party where you're actually focused on what you're doing and you're really taking it seriously. See, she's drinking out of this tonight simply because we had this question. Mm-hmm. We said, what the hell? If she wasn't, if we didn't have this question, we wouldn't break it out because we're in a proper setting. There's a reason why you don't use stemless. Let me see that glass there. Mm-hmm. You can't see what I'm doing, but you can understand.
I know the reason.
Currently, without a stem, what am I holding? I'm holding the glass. And what is inside the glass?
The wine.
Wine. And what is my hand as opposed to the glass?
Warm.
Warming it up.
Now, that might seem like it's insignificant. I guess I could hold it like this. I hold it by the top, but then I'd be stupid.
I've had it resting on the table the whole night. Yeah. I'll pick it up and drink and put it immediately down.
The problem with stemless, they don't fall over as bad. They don't break as easily, which is all great. But in a proper tasting setting, the wine might be in some way slightly manipulated by the warmth of your hand. And you don't want that.
I actually, on my first glass of white, mm-hmm. our first glass of Chardonnay this evening, mm-hmm. I almost said, I feel like mine is a touch too warm to really enjoy it.
I also don't...
But I don't know...
Well, it's been in the fridge for many hours.
So yeah, it was for my hand.
I also don't like the flat bottom. That it doesn't swirl. You need to have... I think it has a little bit of a dent, but that's a Riedel. Some of the companies don't properly make them, so they have a flat bottom, and you can't really mm-hmm. swirl properly. The Riedel's O series are about as good as you get for a stemless because it's really replicating the higher end stuff.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't do it with reds. Whites, though, if you're out on your patio or something like that, or you just have your friends over and you just want to have a glass, some wine where you're sitting on there relaxing, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I mean, if you are one that hosts. There's nothing wrong with hosting with stemless glasses.
Yeah, the thing. If you're not really doing the tasting. Yes. If you're not doing the tasting, then I don't think it really makes a difference. Have some of these things because people will be around. It does have the right shape, mm-hmm. and they are going to, in some way, get a representation of what the wine should be. But if you're doing the tasting, you do want to be proper and have stems.
I mean, there.
But if you have the elbows over, don't do that.
This is just my opinion. If you're hosting a house party and you're going to be supplying mm-hmm. glassware to the masses.
I don't both.
Have some stem. Have some stem.
I would own both. Yeah, it makes sense. And it's a trend that I know the snobs don't like, but it does have a practical purpose to it. So, hey, own both. We own two.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
And I'm pretty sure they're from Target.
Well, you can
circa
buy Riedel.
2009.
You can buy Riedel O's virtually anywhere.
Virtually anywhere.
And they're not really all expensive. So,
no.
I will then read the next one, I suppose. And this is from Zachary.
Zachary.
And this is to
is
me.
Is that with an H or a K?
It's with a what? It's with an H.
Z-A-C-H.
H.
Okay.
But, anyway, what are the newest wine trends?
Wow.
And that's pretty general. It seems like you just kind of threw something together to send in here. But anyway. Well, Zachary, there's some scary wine trends.
Definitely some scary wine trends.
Partly because...
Can I say one?
What's that?
Sure.
I think the scariest is adding carbonation and fruit flavoring to everything.
Well, that's kind of the whole idea. Yeah, there's so many wines that I would call an amalgamation of shit. And
it's like carbonated grape juice that they've added, you know, something mm-hmm. else to.
Well, there's that. And there's also the fact that you have the ones that even aren't carbonated. That's nasty enough. Like Ménage à Trois or the Apothic, whatever that crap is. Yeah. Or we have these nondescript, we assume they have Zin and some other stuff, just slopped together with residual sugar. And the thing is, Dark Horse and all this other shit, that you see it case stacked in the grocery stores and they're pushing it.
Gobs and gobs of it.
Yeah. And this stuff is not good. I mean, no. But that's a trend. It's packaging. They're going for kitschy mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, and on the high end of the scale, there's also these kitschy, these little boutique wineries that different reviewers and bloggers are pushing, per se.
Yeah, that you can't buy.
You can't get your hands on.
Cult wines. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So those are some trends that we're for, canned wine, although you're pro canned wine. We established this.
I've never drank wine.
But you were pro. He liked the idea. Scott wants canned wine.
Oh, God.
Do they make
are you
that?
President? Are oh, you yes. for president?
Oh, please. It's on an episode. It's recorded. Oh. Don't spout. Yes, wine in a can.
Oh, wow. I knew they made like little individual like juice boxes, but I didn't know they made cans.
Those are cans. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Scott's excited about it.
Oh, except we can't find him here in Columbus. Yet to see him.
Well, I've seen barefoot.
Ugh.
Yeah. So what's that's what we see, Zachary. It's a dark world.
I think it's funny. All of our the scary trends are almost like our pet peeves of wine.
A little bit.
It's just I mean
a little bit.
If you have to rely on just bullshit gimmick stuff to sell something, then what you have in the glass is shit.
But people
are buying that as opposed to buying something that's representative of a varietal and learning what wine's about.
I think a fair statement could be made. If you are at a grocery store and there are 20 cases of something stacked, you should get something else.
Well,
that would not be an unfair statement.
That would be a way to pick your wine.
Well, people say, that's too dry for me. Well, it wouldn't be if they properly marketed stuff that was actually lead you to that path and get you into proper varietals and drink good stuff.
Right.
But they don't. They have guys at Trader Joe's that want to sell you Ravage, whatever the hell that shit was. What a douche that guy was. And the Tribunal. So, those are some scary things.
We were looking at the tasting room. Is that what it was called that you sent over? So, Scott sent over a new place in Columbus. And there was a wine on it. Now, I can't remember the name of it. But
Prisoner.
Oh, my Lord.
But it was related. In my mind, I immediately associated with it to 19 Crimes.
Okay.
Well, and I was like, I would never want to drink this.
No.
Even though it could be perfectly fine, just that it's too close to.
Yeah. So what's the next question?
The next question I have is from David.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, in his email, when you go out to eat it at a restaurant, and he normally gets a couple glass pours.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, at what point should I be switching to a bottle versus a glass pour?
You want to get drunk?
Well,
if you're drinking a whole bottle of wine yourself.
Yeah. I thought that. Are you dining alone? I also thought David. Something.
Was it David or Daniel?
It was David.
It should be Daniel.
My brother. He's older than
Is that on Rock of the Westies?
No.
It should be.
That's, yeah.
Well, I had a couple of thoughts about this. One was about the quantity you're drinking.
You're drunk.
The other thing would be the quality.
True.
Can you get the same quality in a glass pour? And then my other thought for him would be if he's sampling around different wines or if he's okay sticking with the same thing for his whole dinner.
I think my question is, do you want to get drunk? I mean, how the hell much are you going to drink?
Well, I think he's probably out with somebody. I don't know. He just said when he goes out to dinner.
Where's he eating? Applebee's?
He didn't tell me.
Yeah. Blackstone, baby. Blackstone Merlot. I don't know. I think that it sounds like David is a bit of a blotto. So he needs to stick to...
A hubo?
A drunk.
What does that mean? Oh.
A blotto?
A drunk. No. I don't know.
Can you get the same quality in a glass pour?
Depends on the restaurant. My concern, though, in a lot of places, they keep the bottles for the glass pour right behind the bar, but then hell, they keep the regular damn bottles right behind the bar and it's warm. Mm. So, I don't really, I mean, it depends. Look around where you are. Like at the Avenue, they have a wine cellar. Well, it's not a cellar, it's upstairs, but it's a climate controlled unit. That's where they get your bottles out of.
Hudson also.
Yeah.
Hudson
also
has a room.
Now, the glass pours, they are pouring from behind the bar. So that might be worth it to you. But if everything's sitting back behind the bar in a case, then what the hell's the difference? But if they do have a climate controlled room and you want something a little bit better, then that would make sense in that regard because you're going to get a better wine. Yeah. A better kept wine.
And in most areas of the country now, what you don't drink, you can take home. They'll recork and package it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah. So
I mean, and that's a consideration as well.
Have you noticed on wine lists that the glass pours are a good representation of what they have on their...
It varies.
Because I feel like it's... A lot of times when I see it, it's normally cheaper stuff, right?
Well, they don't want to break up... Thing is, how quickly... Say a
fair.
Bottle... Yeah, they can't sell
that's
quickly enough.
Point.
So it breaks down to just mathematics. So...
I have seen glass pours priced at what you can buy an entire bottle retail for.
100%.
Well,
and that makes me sick to my stomach when I see that.
Mm-hmm. And pricing wines by the glass, some might argue in the industry that mm-hmm. what your purchase price for that bottle, your actual purchase price, not the wholesale price, not the retail price, what you pay from your distributor, that's about what you should price that mm-hmm. glass of wine for, depending mm-hmm. on your volume and depending yep. on what you're doing. But
mm-hmm. one of my favorite whites is Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc. It's normally $16.99. I have seen it glass pours $12-$13.
Yeah. That's about what they bought and paid for. So.
Yeah.
So.
I maybe ordered it as a glass pour one time because it makes me sick to pay that much for it when you know you can just have it at home.
Very much true. Yeah. And that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special occasion, that might be a bottle night. Otherwise, you might just want to stick to glass pours.
But if you're going
to
get more than two glasses of wine.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
But, you know, then you have to decide on a bottle for your table or for your group or for your twosome.
Sounds like maths.
It's a maths. It's a maths answer.
I know. Maths. Do we have anyone that does maths on this team?
I can do maths.
Well, anyway.
More than two glasses, buy the bottle.
There you go.
Unlicensed as spoken.
Hey, that's a good rule.
Yeah.
And then you can cork it and take it home.
There you go.
That's right. Or drink it all.
And then you can invite your... date back up for it, finish off the bottle.
What happens
look at that
then,
advice.
Turn out the lights.
Look at us giving great advice.
Yeah.
We were giving great advice until that happened.
Very white.
These arms of mine. Little, yeah.
So. Oh.
What, with that, the next question, or the next email, I guess, is from Amanda.
Oh.
Isn't that who the hell?
I know an Amanda.
But there's a song by, was it Boston?
Amanda, I love you.
Yeah. Amanda, Amanda.
It's awful.
I don't want to sing, but I thought there's that one that's like, oh no, it's Joanna. That's what I was thinking.
That's what Rob was singing too.
No, it wasn't. Amanda. I don't know what it was. I don't know.
Yes, one
of Boston. It's the band.
It's one of the band members. Daughter's name, I believe, is
I don't know who. Why would you know that?
I had
are
that
you a Boston
album.
Fan?
On their first album.
So weird. Anyway, so this is a question for you. I don't know if this is a serious question or not, but it's from a lady. So, what is it like to sit next to the superstar? That's an actual question.
Do you think Steve wrote that in?
He might have. Yeah, he might have.
He's got to do something with this time under suspension.
That's true. What is it like?
Well, you know, there's a lot of slobbering. It's mostly his.
Okay.
During the eating part of the episode. You know, you never know when he's going to rip his clothes off, so you kind of got to keep some distance because he, you know, when he rips his clothes off, there's arm flailing.
I think that's what
she's
probably referring to. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous position. Strap your seatbelt in.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. He doesn't do it for me. So, Amanda, if there was something, you know, do I feel anything there? Is there like a rise? Do I blush? No, not so much. But well, it is a wonderful experience to sit next to the superstar.
That's what she wanted.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I probably wouldn't enjoy it as much as you would, Amanda.
Good answer.
That is a good... Wow. He handled that well for us. So, with that, do we have any more emails? Charlie, anything else? Charlie, shut the fuck up, Charlie. Jackass. Asshole.
Well, you leave the port
out. Why did you hire this son?
You leave the port out where he can get at it, and
at least put it in a glass. Asshole. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Hire him.
What?
I didn't hire him.
Well, who did?
Who's paying him? I'm not paying him.
Oh, well, that's why he's probably pissed.
Maybe it's Superstar.
That's why he's drinking your port.
Well, Superstar, no, that ain't happening. By the way, Superstar, where's our case? Yeah, we'll get back to that. Anyway, we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Give a review, an accurate review. So the 2015 Wente Morning Fog Chardonnay from Livermore Valley in California.
I love my Acura.
It's nice. Anyway, we're going to start with the triple B.
Where did that come from?
Acura review?
Accurate. Dumbass. Shit. Folks.
Well, I do love my Acura.
If you need a comedy writer... and like puns.
I thought I like fell asleep or something. When
if you think Canterbury Tales is hilarious, Scott File is your man.
There you go.
He's going to write some naughty, witty things.
Naughty?
Naughty. Well, in a, you know, 16th century kind of way. So we're going to start off with Triple B. He's a You're very much into the Renaissance festivals. You've said that before, right?
No, we actually identified that. I've never been to one, and you should. Have
you would do quite well. I think I said this before. You would do quite well at them. You could dress up like a pirate.
Where
even
did
though
you
that's
go
not
to
great.
One?
When I was in high school, everybody went to one. It was an English one, but it got rained out.
It was where?
There's a big one down near Cincinnati. I don't know if it's still there, but it's like permanent grounds for one, I think.
Oh, I know where it is. It's past Middletown.
Yes.
It's the Renfest.
Yeah.
It's the Renaissance Fest.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's like they've got their own grounds.
You should go there. You do well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, what?
Do they only use those grounds one time a year?
Well,
it looks like a big space, right?
It was wet that day.
I think they stage and they practice, and it's
a thing.
I could be mistaken, but I think it is more than.
I don't know when we start talking about the Renaissance, but we've all been to Excalibur.
What's that? All that?
That casino in Vegas.
I don't know if that counts. Were the strippers dressed up like.
No.
No, they weren't. They weren't dressed up.
Well, the hair.
Really? No, anyway. So, Triple B.
I'm struggling on where to rate this. We haven't done a ton of white wine. So, judging it against other wines is difficult. I'm really enjoying it. I think that the...
strong.
I think the flavor profile, the fruit and the oak, I'm really enjoying. But I'm just nervous to rate it because I don't have a lot of other things to judge it against. So I'm going to give it an 80. I'm going to give it an 88.
on to the unlicensed taxi driver, Renaissance festival lover, Scott. Hark!
Hark.
What does thou rate thou vente?
Vente.
Vente. Yes.
I'm on the border. Go Madonna.
Another obscure reference no one understands.
Yeah, I don't know it.
Border? On the border. It's a Madonna song.
Nobody listens to that.
On the borderline?
Yeah, the borderline.
Why yeah.
That's not border. How would we make... Go ahead.
My
head hurts. Jesus Christ.
He's pinching his nose.
Oh, my God.
I live with this.
I know. I like the 88. I was between 87 and 88.
Yeah, same.
Love the mouthfeel. And perhaps if I had more shards go across my lips down my palate, I would have a different number for this. But I like this. To some degree, I wish it was just slightly more oaky to balance that little hint of sweetness.
I can see that in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little more oaky, and then maybe it'd be a little more traditional to the shard.
Yeah.
But as Rob said, this is has several things going on. Maybe layered wasn't your word, but it is layered. There's different things going on. You got the green apple.
Oh, sure.
You've got that tartness. There's a little acidic. There's this wonderful mouthfeel that is not a light-bodied white wine. It's nice. There's this subtle little finish thing that goes on that I wish I had more of, mm-hmm. honestly. I don't know that this is completely framed to deserve more of a higher score. This is a drinker, though. Boy, is this an easy drinking wine for the price point, too. Highly recommend this.
Oh, it's recommended, mm-hmm. yeah. And now it's on to me, folks. It is a, the one thing that is a comp is Mondavi's Napa Chardonnay. It's the exact same price. At least that's what we have paid for it. I can't really recall what, I think we gave Mondavi's 85s, 86, maybe even 87. This one, my recollection is a little fuzzy, but I do know that I like this at least as good or better. Than the Mondavi. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably a little bit more accessible for everybody. But it is lacking a little bit of depth and complexity. But then again, it's an entry-level, technically, Chardonnay. But it is estate-grown. It's from a specific place. I love all that about it.
Mm-hmm. It's not a single-note pony, man.
No, it's not. It's really not. It's lovely. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely white. It's one of those things, and I agree, as we test more Chardonnays on here, perhaps you revisit it and give and adjust the score. But for now, I think that everyone is pretty much on the same page. I don't think I can go full-blown 88. I'm going to go 87.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're it's one of those. Russian judge.
No, I think if you were going to bracket it 86 to 88.
Yeah, and
88
I think,
on the high side.
And I think it balanced us out. Becky and I were both like 87, 88. What is it? You know?
Yeah, you were soft 88s.
I didn't say that, but there you go.
Yeah. But I like drinking it. I would buy it again. I would drink it again. I would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know who would really love this wine?
Steve.
The superstar.
Yeah.
I think
he would throw out the highest number of bottles yet.
Oh, yeah. He would maybe even
I think
like
he would say this
90s.
Is a four. No, well, Steve has a scale, too. That's
this is a,
the number
this
of bottles.
This is a two-liver transplant wine. Well, actually, it's only one because he needs the first one.
I think Esteban would say this is a 4 to 5 bottle wine.
That's true.
I mean, this is.
I let me do it. I could drink this all night. It would be fun.
His voice isn't that deep. You're making him sound.
No,
like
it
Adam.
Isn't. Well, it's true.
That's your mom. That's this the voice he does for his mom.
This is
it's the worst.
I can't.
Voice.
What is a Steve voice?
It's a lot softer. That's closer. It's scary, but closer.
Go back to your first voice. It was at least different.
How about this? Well, you don't know what pain is. I would drink 4 to 5 bottles of this, precious. Don't hurt my dog. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't you hurt my dog.
Would you? but nevertheless, definitely highly recommended. We enjoy it. We think anyone will enjoy this as well. That's the beauty part. If you don't drink, you say, a Chardonnay or two, this or that, give this one a try.
Yep.
It definitely is one that's going to show you maybe a little bit of hint, leave you into a little bit of oak, show you what it kind of is like, but at the same time, it's going to have plenty of fruit to lead you into it. It's a good gateway.
Yeah, it's a gateway Chard.
Yeah.
I think the audience member that's not going to care for this is that Chardonnay traditional drinker that likes those big oaky things.
There's only like about 45 of those people that still are alive, so I don't think we... traditional
they all
Chardonnay
sit
drinkers.
In the wine vaults.
Have you ever met it? I'm a traditional Chardonnay drinker.
Okay.
Normally, those people
get
kicked in the balls.
Okay,
somebody runs out of screen.
No, I would
kicks them, then runs away.
Okay, Chardonnay drinker.
They fall
right
down.
Now, I am giving the wine guy the look on your behalf.
Well, there's nobody. There's who? Have you ever met someone that's a Chard that says I'm an Okie Chardonnay drinker?
Yes.
Who?
I'm not calling them out on national.
Because someone will
podcasting.
Run in, kick them in the groin, and then run away. That's what happens.
I think there's a large amount of folks that like that.
Yep.
Like who? Who have you met? How many people?
Go to any upscale restaurant.
Yep.
Any upscale restaurant we go to. If we go to the Avenue, there are 3 to 4 of them sitting there drinking their Oaky Chardonnay.
They're
usually
women.
Yeah.
Usually.
I gotta go for a smoke.
I think Becky's right.
Yep. They're usually women.
Well, nevertheless.
I didn't want to say that because that might be pointing them out as negative since you're railing against that. But
they don't exist. Anyway, they don't.
Okay.
This isn't 1994.
Have you seen Curly Sue?
Okay, you just proved my 1994.
I know. Have you seen Curly Sue?
Why would I watch John Belushi and a girl? Because
it's funny.
It's the cutest movie ever. Yeah. The woman. What's her name? The woman in the mom in Curly Sue, the adoptive mom, whatever. She would definitely drink an Oaky Chardonnay.
You're lucky I gave
you
John Belushi.
Oh, it's
she's an Oaky Chardonnay.
Yes, that's
drinker.
A fictional character, Becky.
Well, I'm just telling you.
You gave me a fictional character that would drink it.
That was immediately
Cruella DeVille from 101 Dalmatians. She would be a Chardonnay
drinker.
No.
No way.
No.
She drinks.
You should that be
put
great fictional
Jaeger
characters and what they would drink?
Something crazy.
Yeah, have nonsensical arguments about that.
Kelly Lynch was the appropriate answer to Becky's trivia question.
Yeah, don't you think she's an Oaky Chardonnay drinker?
No. You know what she was in? She was in Roadhouse.
She's gorgeous.
She's a Roadhouse guy.
I love her.
No, she wouldn't be a Chardonnay drinker.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, maybe.
100% she's a Chardonnay drinker.
Well, folks, I stand corrected. I've been put in my place because a fictional character in Curly Sue probably is a Chardonnay drinker. Who knew? Anyway, with that, I would like to thank Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver. Did you find a naked picture of Kelly Lynch on there? If you Googled Roadhouse and Kelly Lynch, she's naked in Roadhouse.
Stop it.
She is. That's why I always watch it on TNT. You can't watch... It's strange, as an aside. You can't watch the real Roadhouse because it just is too much. What? Anyway.
I think she wrote an article about the 10 most frequently purchased Chardonnays.
She did?
I'm not lying. It might be a different
it's
Kelly
spelled
Lynch.
Differently.
But
it's spelled differently, but yeah.
Nevertheless, so Kelly Lynch. Anyway. But you said her character, anyway. So anyway, with that.
That's hilarious.
That's such a dumb thing. Anyway, there are no Oaky Chardonnay drinkers out there. Anyway, yeah, they're all buying cake bread and Chalk Hill and Mare Soleil and having a party. There's a lot of people like that. That's why they all are on the shelves. But anyway, we're going to bid you adieu. And I'd like to thank Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, and the Triple B, and the Superstar for...
just being super.
And a star.
And a star.
Yes. And with that, we'll bid you adieu and see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.